Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dylan Smith, the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. I'm sitting in for Bill today. He's on vacation. On the other side of the glass is Tom Fairbanks, engineering our show for this Friday, October 14th. Buckmaster airs live each weekday noon at 10:30 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. The program is streamed live at buckmastershow.com, where you can also find podcasts of each and every show. A thanks from Bill to the show's media partners, including my nonprofit independent news outlet, TucsonSentinel.com, as well as Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Suarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is now open at 790-2040, 790-2040. Bill's Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and on Twitter you can follow him at Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Steve Kozacek, Tucson's Ward 6 City Councilman. Joining me to question him is Blake Morlock, the What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist for TucsonSentinel.com. Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in local politics, and some of the things that have kind of flown under the radar are the issues that you deal with over at the city, with all the other headlines sort of taking up a lot of space. And one of the important long-term things, to get right down to some nitty-gritty, is how we're going to pay to fix our roads. And you guys have been really digging into some of those potholes, haven't you?
We have. You guys got your scripts already? Because this is all scripted, right?
Indeed. It's, we've got stacks, reams of paper, everything's okay. Highlighted, ready to go.
I'm all on right, page good. 23 right now.
Yeah, oh, God. I'll catch up to you here just a second then. So, yeah, I've been talking about this since I started this thing 7 years ago. And one of the, let me kind of rewind the tape a ways.
Let me flip back in the script.
Okay, just a second. By the way, I heard the Sentinel tried to endorse Allie Miller, but she blew you guys off.
Yeah, there was a whole thing, and we just couldn't quite get it worked out.
All right, well, maybe there's still 25 days to go. So, I started talking about this several years ago when I laid out on the table a proposal to not increase the RTA tax, but to take a percentage of what we're already paying in the RTA tax and allocate it to pavement preservation. At the time we began that conversation, the RTA board and Huckleberry took the position that I was just trying to blow up the RTA. As a matter of fact, now what they're doing is they're talking about the same thing, but instead of taking a percentage of what we're already paying, they're saying, well, instead of doing that, let's just increase the RTA tax by half a cent. So the conversation has sort of morphed into what we began several years ago. I still would propose that when we go to RTA 2, when that gets to the ballot, and whenever they decide to do that, that they consider a percentage of what we're already paying. I do not necessarily agree with increasing the RTA sales tax, but take a percentage of what we're paying already and allocate it region-wide for roads. That's not going to get us where we need to go. From a standpoint of finances, it's also not going to get us where we need to go from a standpoint of timing. We need to do this now. So the city passed a few years ago Prop 409. It's tied to property taxes, $20 million a year for 5 years, and we have a year and a half left on that. So we need to fish or cut bait on a new idea, because we just can't say that, we'll wait for the RTA to make a decision in a couple of years and then have the voters approve it. So what we're talking about now are charter revisions that would have to go to the voters. And what is on the table is, as early as next May, we would ask for the charter authority to increase our sales tax by half a cent. That would yield about $50 million a year. The current conversation is about taking that half cent and splitting it between roads and public safety. What the city manager proposed originally was about $30 million to public safety and $20 million to roads. I would flip that and put the greater emphasis on roads. I would also increase the percentage that we are allocating to residential. Right now it's only 15% to residential. I'd up that significantly, and in 30-40% to residential. And the third piece of what he proposed is to put a 5-year sunset on that tax increase. What I said at the last study session was, let's not pretend that we're going to fix the roads in 5 years, whether we allocate $20 or $30 million a year to them. Let's just be straight with the voters and say this is a capital expense. It makes more sense from a standpoint of public financing to use sales tax as opposed to property tax. And so let's time this so that when Prop 409 runs out, we are ready to kick in an earmarked portion of a new half-cent sales tax to roads, but don't sunset it in 5 years. Just keep the money coming year after year. Everybody keeps talking about the cliched dedicated funding source for a variety of different things. This would be that. And by the time we get done fixing the roads that we have now, that half-cent sales tax, we'll be able to circle back and start back in again for the ones that by then will be falling apart as well.
Because it never stops, does it?
No, it's not going to, and we shouldn't pretend that it will. And so for too long, we've been relying on the state and gas tax and HERF and all that. Let's just do it locally, take the bull by the horns and say this is our responsibility, and understand that people come in here from all over the region, drive on our roads and shop in our stores, and so the sales tax makes some intuitive sense.
So the bond issue, by many accounts, has been very successful, and because of certain timing issues, come in under budget, so we could do more with it. That probably wouldn't be the case going forward, but why not just redo that instead of going with a sales tax?
Two reasons. Number one is the bond issue is tied to property tax, and my own feeling is that from a public financing standpoint, it makes more sense to apply a pavement preservation piece to sales tax than to property taxes. Secondly, we can't go out for GO bonds until November, and I want to get this question answered before November for a couple of reasons. Number one is let's just do a single shot special election and have the complete focus on this. If we wait until November of 17 to ask the question, it's going to get buried on the bottom of the ballot, and you might have the state asking for education funding. I know that there's another group that's out there with an initiative that's going to be talking about preschool funding. It'll be wind up on page 12 of the ballot, and so let's just put the spotlight on it and say this is a legitimate need. Let's have a special election in May about it, and have a conversation about it. With respect to the public safety piece, I do have some concerns that I expressed at the last meeting, saying that if we are going to take this to the voters, we need to be just as specific on public safety as we need to be on roads, and that is identify specifically what this is going to. The first iteration of this that we saw at the council meeting, they had something like $34 million earmarked for fire station upgrades and improvements. Well, that's just not good enough. If we're going to have a conversation about public safety, it needs to be in the context of replacing public safety vehicles, and so we know we've got paramedics and cops who are going to get to the scenes on time. But don't talk about, in a very generic sense, just making our fire stations look nicer. I mean, I don't want our firefighters to be living in a slum. On the other hand, this is a priority situation. We're going to be asking taxpayers to open their wallet, and we better be able to make the case without our fingers crossed behind our backs that this is really for public safety and not simply for comfort.
You're listening to the Friday Focus interview of Councilman Steve Kozacek on The Buckmaster Show. If you have a question for him or for us, I suppose you can call in 790-2040. Here's columnist Blake Morlock with a question.
Hi, Councilman. I'm just curious if you have a sense of how much money in needs you actually have as far as what roads need being fixed, how much they'll cost. Do you have a sense of how far behind the eight ball Tucson is just fiscally?
Well, we've had those assessments done, but I take them with a grain of salt. What I can say, and by that I mean when somebody throws a dollar figure at it, those are those current dollars. We're not going to do the work for 10 years. What does that number become in 10 years? What I would say, Blake, is that we know that if we had, say, $30 million a year earmarked and dedicated to fixing the roads, that problem is not going to go away, and we can very effectively spend those dollars. When we got into the Prop 409 issue, the only reason we wound up with $20 million was because it was 20 divided, it was 100 million divided by five. That was the length of the bond, and so we'll spend $20 million a year. You know, and I know, and everybody knows that we could be spending another $10 million a year. The materials are there, the labor is there, the need is certainly there, and as I was saying a few minutes ago, by the time we fix them all, and we're never going to get to that point, we'll be ready to go back to the roads that we fixed 5 and 6 and 7 years ago. Now, two things about the needs, though. We have, I mentioned a minute ago that we have a bond that we need to allocate more to residential. We have a bond advisory committee that's made up of some pretty savvy folks working with TDOT, identifying and doing a triage on residential streets. That committee needs to stay in place, and we need to completely depoliticize the selection so that we're not going in and saying, we'll fix the same amount in every ward in the city. The needs don't exist the same in every ward in the city, and so we need to depoliticize it, take it out of the council's hands, put it in front of this bond advisory committee and say, you guys identify where the needs are, and you allocate those funds. The second thing is that I'm pretty troubled by, and that this never quite hit the local media, but I guess I'm going to make it hit it now.
We're poised. This isn't in the script.
All right. Well, okay, close the book for a second. We can open it back up. I think we're on page 27 now.
Okay.
We are going back in right now and doing some repair work, some fog sealing on some of the roads that we fixed with 409 money a few years ago. Now, if you ask TDOT, they will say, well, that's normal. What's not normal, what makes that a farce, though, is that they had the wrong asphalt mix that they were using and hadn't taken into account the wide temperature swings that we get in Tucson. And everybody who's been here for a while knows that in January and February, you can have 40 and 50 degree temperature swings in a single day. So we've changed the asphalt mix. We're going back in and using the right mix right now, but it is absolutely unacceptable for us as a department, as a city, to say, let us fix the roads, and oh, by the way, we screwed it up the first time, we'll get it right next time. We got to get it right the first time out of the chute, or we have no business going to the taxpayers and saying we want more of your money.
Wouldn't that have been something that would be specified when we put that out to bid?
Well, yeah, and so my hope is that, and you mentioned a minute ago, that we've gotten a little more bang for our buck, and so we've gotten some more linear miles than we anticipated. While that is true, if that is true, as a result of our specking an inappropriate asphalt mix, then it's just a complete no sale. Use the right materials, and even if that means you don't have the opportunity to come back in a couple years and say, hey, we're ahead of the game, I don't care about being ahead of the game as long as we're on target. That's what's more important.
Are we paying for, or the taxpayers paying for that? Or was that taken out of the, because these contractors need to be bonded. Would that be something that would they would pay for it themselves? Or
no, because we no, they spec'd a mix and we accepted their spec. It's not like they did anything wrong. So yeah, and so that $40 million that we thought we were ahead, it's actually $31 million that we're ahead, and that's troubling.
So Doug Martin wants to ask a quick question before we go to a break here. Go ahead, Doug.
Good morning, Councilman. I really appreciate you and the fact that you actually understand the numbers and economics and read the budget and know what's going on. And I think Michael Ortega is a great city manager. My question has to do with, I think what you're looking for from the voters is the trust factor. Yep. And there's been issues, of course, in the past where there have been things that didn't come out the way the city said. But I think you have an issue that's probably bigger looming over your head, and that's the pension issue. And I wanted to see what you had to say about that as far as, you know, what can be done about, you know, this problem with the pensions and the looming problem coming ahead.
Okay. You're absolutely right, Doug. The entire conversation about changing the charter, increasing the sales tax, and identifying a dedicated funding source circles all the way back to trust. And without that, then we will not even ask the question. I think, and before I get into this, how much time before we have to break?
Well, we're coming up pretty close to one, so.
All right. Well, then I'll just say before the break, we just balanced our budget. It's the first budget I've voted for in the 7 years I've been doing this because it's structurally balanced instead of using one-time fixes, instead of selling land, instead of relying on things that the Auditor General said are inappropriate, and the bond agencies have said are inappropriate. So the first time, and Doug, you're right, this is under the leadership of Mike Ortega, that we have finally got a structurally balanced budget. That does not include capital needs, and that's what we're talking about in terms of roads and public safety. And so as far as pensions are concerned, we have rolled into the operations budget obligations for that. That is a part of the structural balance that we have. I will tell you, though, that this year, because of the state legislature having passed something that a pension item that wound up being called ruled unconstitutional, we're going to have another $15 to $20 million hit coming out of our general fund to make up for that, because they pass them and we pay for them. I hear the music.
We'll be right back after these messages, and I think we're going to dig into some more of those budget issues. And we've got a caller hanging with a question. Hang tight.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. She was lying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. If folks, they said their lives together, sure was it going to be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress. Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And he was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on his shoes. Heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows he paid some dues.
As a local manufacturer of windows and doors, American Openings would like to recognize another local business, Williams & Associates. Burt Williams and his team have just received the 2016 National Promotional Products Family Business of the Year Award. This national recognition is given out annually to only one of 20,000 companies within the industry. American Openings is grateful to Burt and the entire staff at Williams & Associates for helping businesses grow and employ more people, because the cure to poverty is a job.
UA Arizona Repertory Theater proudly presents Hands on a Hard Body, based on a true story and infused with country, rock, and gospel. This musical follows 10 down on their luck Texans, each desperate for a new lease on life. They're determined to endure days in the Texas heat for a chance to win a brand new hard body truck. The last one standing with their hand on the truck wins it. Go to tickets.arizona.edu to see this musical of strife and friendship among competing strangers. Sponsored by Madden Media. Season sponsored Chapman Automotive. Hands on a Hard Body at UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Tickets.arizona.edu. Who wins?
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big breast bed.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, and to honor Bob Dylan and his being awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature yesterday, we're running some of his songs as our bumper music on this Friday. I'm joined by Blake Morlock, our What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist, and we are questioning Councilman Steve Kozacek here on the Buckmaster Show. We have a caller who's been patiently waiting on the air. Chuck, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, please.
Councilman, you briefly mentioned HERF funds. Now, I might be wrong about this, but I think the city gets about $50 to $60 million a year in addition to the RTA funds, and then on top of that, the $20 million from the 409. Am I wrong about this?
I don't have the numbers in front of me. You got that 409 right for sure. The gas, we get HERF money every year, but it's not simply for road repair. It goes to anything related to roads. That could be medians, it could be lighting, it could be sidewalks. There are lots of different things HERF money goes to.
And what amount is that?
I'm not sure. I think it's more like 34, but it's been going. It's been on a downward trend. The state has been pulling some of those dollars every year for about the last 6 years to apply to DPS, which
okay.
They also
consider. What
considered.
About RTA funds?
RTA funds are minimal to the city. They're earmarked for specific projects. For instance, there are 35 different road projects that RTA money goes to. They do not do pavement preservation. RTA money does not go to fix the roads. That's one of the points that I was making, though, Chuck, is that when this goes back out to the voters, we ought to be saying instead of simply increasing capacity, we ought to be earmarking some of those dollars for fixing the roads that we're building.
Okay, now you're saying roads. That's good because that doesn't no bicycle path money, right?
No, the RTA had four different pieces to it. One of them was roads, one of them was environmental, one of them was safety, and the fourth one was transit. And so broken up in those four different chunks, only one was roads. The piece that includes sidewalks and those kinds of things, infrastructure, would fall under the safety item. So when the voters approved the RTA back in 2006, it was a $2.1 billion election. 1.2 of that was for roads. The rest of it was for those other three elements that I identified.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much, Chuck. And here's Blake Morlock with a question for Steve Kozacek.
But I have to make a point. I have to make a point. First
right.
of all, thank you for running Lady Lay. And secondly, Lennon and McCartney, they ought to be next on that Nobel deal.
Well, as literature, we could have a conversation about that.
Okay,
it's been a little bit controversial for Bob Dylan to get a prize for his literary contributions. I would argue that he's very much a poet.
Isn't it more as a poet though?
Well, yeah, but that poetry is literature.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing about Lennon and McCartney?
Lennon and McCartney were largely influenced by Dylan. They were writing the, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand when Dylan.
I'm not saying that the Beatles weren't amazing, but they were much more musicians and songwriters than poets. Certainly they were good at that, but not as foundationally brilliant as Bob Dylan.
And until Katy Perry came along, and I'm a closet Katy Perry fan, nobody else had five.
Okay, you're done.
Number one. Nobody else had
comes
five
a recall effort.
Ones. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so Doug asked about trust.
Yeah.
When I started this seven years ago, we were coming off the heels of a Rio Nuevo relationship that was all about money spent unwisely and all of that. The Rio Nuevo board is new. The city council is new. The city manager is new. We have a very positive relationship, and I just read the executive summary of the Rio Nuevo audit from the Auditor General that came out, and it was glowing, talking about the AC Marriott and the Tucson Convention Center upgrades and the road runners and the West Side development and other stuff going on downtown. And so from a standpoint of trust, I think we've turned a corner. And in terms of our ability to handle the public's money effectively, and that has got to be a part of the conversation when we talk about this special election coming forward.
Well, yeah, when you're talking about public trust, one of the things that We should also point out that Rio Nuevo was approved in 1999, and we're in 2016, and we just got a glowing report. And it took about 12, 13 years for that to for people really to see the results of that. But you're talking about perhaps another shortfall with the budget. If every year it looks like the budget is...
The city budget.
Yeah, the city budget. If every year it looks like you're having to deal with a budget crisis, and I think this is going on every year for the... I think we got to be coming up on 10 years of this now. Do you see where that can make people think, oh, they don't know how to handle their money? How do you get ahead of this pension issue? You managed to do this without one-time fixes. And I was talking to some council members who said, we're finally on top of the budget, and now we're hearing about another shortfall. How do you get a long-term handle on these issues so you don't have budget shortfalls every year?
So let's be clear about a couple of things. First of all, the public safety pension is negotiated, and the terms are negotiated at the state level. We don't have a voice in that.
You just have to pay the bill.
That's right. And so when the state legislature, they made two changes to the public safety pension 4 or 5 years ago, both of which wound up being litigated by the police and fire unions. They've already lost the first one, not the unions, but the state, and they're about to lose the second one. So once that shoe drops, we will have that one more lump sum that we have to bite off and pay. But from the standpoint of getting out ahead of it is concerned, we paid ahead on it last year from a standpoint of fiscal solvency. We're doing the right stuff at the local level. But Blake, the point I want to make is that there are two pieces to any budget. This relates to your home budget, relates to a city budget, relates to a business's budget. There are operations, and then there are capital needs. Nobody, whether it's a family or a business or a government, is able to handle the capital needs. And we have over $1 billion in capital needs out of our operations budget. You don't do that at home. We shouldn't be trying to do it out of our operations budget. And so once we accept that and we have a legitimate conversation with the voters and say, these are capital needs that aren't going away, and we can handle the operations, and that's the piece that we did finally structurally balance, but the capital needs are a whole different conversation. And that's what I'm suggesting.
Pensions aren't capital needs, though.
No, they're not. And pensions are in the operations, and we are structurally balanced right now. And we're going to have this one more shoe to drop. But, you know, quite frankly, I think we're in a unique situation when it comes to pensions. The rest of the cities in this state are going to be catching up to us. And by that, I mean we have a very old pension system. And so we're going to be doing a few, you're going to be seeing a few things happen. We are aging out a lot of our public safety people. That means we're going to have a younger workforce. We're going to be hiring up now that we have Chief Magnus in place, and Chief Critchley is doing the same thing in terms of academies. And so we're not facing this kind of analogy to Social Security where you have too many people taking and not enough people paying into the system. So that dynamic is going to flip. And so there are a lot of different things happening. But I'm not going to sit here and try and paint a rosy picture about public safety pensions when you have jurisdictions all over the country going Chapter 11 as a result of them. What I'm telling you, though, is that we do have our arms around it. We did pay a lump sum ahead right now, and we've got our arms around the fact that the demographics of our departments are changing, too, and that's going to help us going forward.
So, Blake, you wrote a column for TucsonSentinel.com a few days ago about Broadway widening, and the quick takeaway from that would be bulldoze it all. And Steve, I would gather that you probably don't agree with that.
I read that epistle, and I agree with parts of it. I don't agree with parts of it. Let me just say this. The Broadway widening project is one that, if Chuck were still on the line, he might agree that was an RTA project that the voters were sold a bill of goods on. The voters voted on in 2006 based on, at that time, 20-year-old traffic projections that have never panned out. And so for us to be spending $74 million on what at the time was a 150-foot-wide eight-lane road that we don't need, that, by the way, pinch points into a four-lane road that is probably the worst intersection in North America at Toole and Congress and Fourth Avenue. Now we're solving a piece of that by bleeding off the downtown links as a bypass to downtown. We really don't need to be spending $74 million on that roadway. So what I would advocate and have advocated for is narrowing the cross width that was sold to the voters back in 2006. Campbell Avenue is six lanes, including bike lanes, including medians. It's 96 feet wide at around Banner UMC. What we have in front of us right now on Broadway is about 120 feet wide, which is unnecessarily taking out some structures, but probably more importantly, it's taking out the opportunity to put in things like bike lanes and landscaping and pedestrian amenities. And so what we've been advocating for the last 4 years at Citizen Task Force meetings is creating a sense of place and a destination instead of just laying out asphalt and asking people to drive by it to get into the downtown core. The neighborhoods that surround the Broadway corridor from Euclid to Country Club, some of them have historic designations. Some of those buildings need to come down, though, and this is where Blake and I are in agreement. In order to preserve the strip malls where you have, and I'm just by way of example, if you have five businesses, all five of them are being affected by the roadway because we're taking away their access points or we're taking away their parking. If one of those five goes away, you've just solved the parking problem. They can negotiate cross access agreements for getting the customers in. So some of the buildings need to go away. I'm not saying wholesale bulldozing because some of them are valuable. They are the tax base, by the way, that's paying for the RTA, that's paying for the roadway project itself.
And aren't they also paying for the TIF?
Well, yeah. I mean, so Broadway is part of the tax increment district, and so Rio Nuevo ought to be stepping up to the plate and saying, we'll ante up some cash to do some facade improvements, just as they did downtown with the Chicago store and some of the other businesses downtown, and so they could help upgrade, give a facelift to some of those businesses that need to be preserved along the Broadway corridor.
Okay, but I guess my point is I can't believe we're discussing the historical preservation of the strip mall. I mean, the strip mall is kind of what, you know, it's not character. It's what it's what replaced character.
With the passage of time, don't some of those buildings develop their own character anyway?
Well, you could say the same thing about Circle K. Just because something is old doesn't
mean... Well, you know, there's that iconic 1970s Circle K design.
Hey,
shouldn't we save all of those?
No. The Wigorama, absolutely. But
I would direct you to look at the Chase Bank. Look at the Broadway Village.
I used to bank there. I know the Chase Bank. The okay. one downtown...
No, I'm talking about Country Club and Broadway. The Broadway Village right across the street, there's a place called Rose Petal. And so some of the post-World War II architecture is unique, and I'm not saying all of it
Even if it's
to be,
not to your taste, it's unique.
Yeah, that's the point.
Eyes are rolling, but I take your point.
And so I just said Lennon and McCartney, and your eyes rolled then too because you like Bob Dylan better.
I like Lennon and McCartney.
So he's maybe not to Nobel laureate level, though, all right? Yeah. So there, you know, art is art. And historic preservation is historic preservation. And so I've got people who are saying, you can't knock any of it down or we'll chain ourselves to the buildings. And I'm saying that's an unacceptable position. But for the other people who are simply saying, bulldoze all of it and build some build new strip malls, I'm saying that's unacceptable as well.
Thank you very much, Councilman Steve Kozacek, for answering a few of our questions here on the Buckmaster Show, and perhaps we could all put our ear to the wind and find a few more answers.
Thank you, guys. We only got halfway through the script.
Thanks, Councilman.
Before she sleeps in the sand, how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. I'm Dylan Smith, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm joined by TucsonSentinel.com columnist Blake Morlock, and now by Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Great.
How's it going, Jim?
The burning issue of the day, of course, is what's your favorite Bob Dylan song?
Oh, let's see. That's a huge catalog. You know what I really liked? I liked that Infidels album from, 1983, 1984?
So you're the guy that likes that one.
Yeah, with Mark Knopfler. I like that Sweetheart Like You, and I like that Joker Man song.
Oh, that is a good one.
Those are two that I'm really, really fond of.
We played Lay Lady Lay.
No one else is going
to
pick those.
Which has to be, it really depends on my mood, but I think that would have to be most frequently my favorite Bob Dylan song. And that was Steve's as well. What's yours, Blake?
Like a Rolling Stone. Going classic.
Just right there with the organ and
that and positively 4th Street probably. I like his songs that kind of have attitude and tell people, you know. great for his voice is perfect for that.
Those are great songs. It's strange to think there was a time because of my age when there wasn't a Bob Dylan. You know, I grew up with it pretty much in my DNA.
I think anybody who's been a fan of music for the past, at this point, even more than half a century, whether you specifically like his songs or not, that they have informed what it is you're listening to anyway.
They're the lyrics. I mean, he's the godfather of the modern popular music lyric. So if you, I could make the argument he's the grandfather of rap.
Pretty much, with especially with a song like "It's All Right, Ma,"
Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Absolutely, but let's bring things a little bit more back home, so to speak, here
again.
And let me put two things on the table here. We don't have a whole lot of time, so let's try and be succinct. But first, of course, getting a lot of headlines would be the federal indictment of the now former chief deputy of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And does Hillary Clinton really have a chance of taking Arizona? What do you think, Jim?
Well, on the indictment, I was looking at your story in the Sentinel today, I was looking at it today, but of course wasn't published today. The thing that I find most interesting about it is the expenses that you were listing seemed like pretty small-time stuff. The microwave in the break room or some meals here and there or a model airplane here and there, which is a very weird thing to...
Don't forget the Santa sleigh.
To kind of give yourself up as you know, to ruin your career over all seems so petty. And I think it also is a lot of trouble for Chris Nanos as he is the appointed sheriff trying to win over the confidence of Pima County voters. I think this is very damaging to him, and he's up against a very legitimate opponent in Mark Napier. And I also think, it points back to just the whole problem of RICO funds in general and these seizure programs and forfeiture and the problems that come along with that entire sort of busting for bucks operation.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the... I mean, first of all, the presumption, just the idea that the presumption is that you are guilty and, you don't need a criminal conviction to take the money. And
the money, the property, the car, the
money,
house.
The property, the car, all that. But the rules are pretty vague about what the money can and can't be used for is another thing. I mean, that's the other thing that strikes me is just, So I guess this is kind of rinky-dink, but on the other hand,
we don't know if it's rinky-dink or
well,
not.
Well, that's true.
The examples included in the indictment could be just the most specific things at
There's
hand.
There's supposed to be a lot more out there, but
right, because it's $500,000, I think.
The feds say that there's a problem with how $500,000 was handled, and then specify how a few thousand bucks was allegedly mishandled.
Yeah, there's a big gulf in between examples, that. And that there might be some. But point I was going to make is, it might be a good thing if the feds are suddenly cracking down on how this, and it's kind of the broken window approach to law enforcement. They take care of the broken windows, and then that makes that decreases crime in an area.
They seem to be looking into the feds. The Justice Department seems to be looking into how RICO funds are handled more frequently, a little bit more closely. We see it going on.
I think that's a good thing.
FBI investigation going on up in Pinal County with how Sheriff Paul Babu has been handling his RICO funds as well.
Right. Although I think that's the least of Babu's problems in terms of bad headlines.
He's gotten quite a few lately. And well, speaking of political races, there have been a number of polls lately that show Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump, not just across the country, but and handily across the country, but either a narrow lead or a tie or within the margin of error in Arizona has been even coming a little bit before these latest revelations. So does she have a chance, or are these polls just a mess? Are they rigged?
It's all rigged. It's all a bunch of lies. You know, I think Arizona is in play. I still think it will go to Trump, but his campaign has become such a dumpster fire in the last couple of weeks that I could see Hillary pulling it out here. And I think one of the keys to that is the Mormon vote. And, you know, you've seen Jeff Flake really coming out against Donald Trump. You're seeing it up in Utah as well. And that's a sizable chunk of the percentage here, and the Mormon voters are really just not at all excited about
that. And I was I'm curious about that. I don't know if the national pollsters are as aware of the significance of the Mormon vote, especially in the East Valley, where that is a very strong contingent. And we're seeing new polls out of Utah that actually include Evan McMullen, the independent candidate, and he's really almost driven it to a three-way tie there. I can't imagine that happening here, but we're not seeing polls that really include him here in Arizona. Is that something that is, you know, might be happening behind the scenes that we don't really have a good number for yet?
Well, is he on the ballot, I guess, is my question. Did he make the ballot here in Arizona?
Well, even if he isn't on the ballot, people could be writing his name in as a protest vote anyway.
Well, yeah, sure, but that's not as easy a thing to do as that. But I could see a real significant undervote in the presidential race this year, and then you see it tick up on the congressional races and the Senate race and everything else, which really is a reversal of what you'd normally see in a presidential race.
Well, yeah, and I'll believe Arizona will go Democratic about 10 minutes after it happens. But the other question that pollsters are really trying to figure out, or they should be trying to figure out, is the Latino vote. Because I can tell you, Democrats have been trying to register Latino voters, get them on the permanent early voting list for years.
Yeah, and a couple of generations now.
Yeah, and that vote just hasn't materialized in a way that's big enough to really affect the statewide race, although it's constantly promised. But
right.
We'll have to see.
Giant shallow wake. We hear it all the time, and so far it has not. And certainly you would have thought SB 1070 would have done that, and you would think Donald Trump would do that, but I guess Election Day will tell.
Well, it's also a bit of a misnomer, I think, that it's a theory, and it's a theory that comes out of the East Coast and the, you know, New York and Washington, that it's immigration that's the only thing that drives Latino voters. And very often it's schools, it's jobs, it's healthcare. It's the same issues that drive everybody, all the other voters. The problem, of course, comes when, and you will remember that a lot of the anti-legal immigrant things, ballot measures were passed with strong Latino support. But it's often these other issues that drive them just as much.
Thank you very much, Jim Nintzel, for sitting in on the Reporters Roundtable here on the Buckmaster Show. And thank you as well, Blake. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations by delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County. The RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
That music and the fact that it's Friday can mean just one thing. It's time for Weekend Watch here on The Buckmaster Show. This portion of The Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do in Silver City in Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Sitting in for Matt Russell, because this seems to be a show in which everybody's sitting in for everybody else, except for Tom Fairbanks, ably handling things behind the glass. Sitting in for Matt Russell is Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, who's going to tell us all about what to do here in Tucson this weekend.
Well, it's October, Dylan, so there's no shortage of things to do. We do not plan well as a city. We try to jam everything into 1 month or a couple, so it's a variety of things. So I want to give you as much as I can.
All right.
Film Fest Tucson. This is a little bit selfish. We are a sponsor of this particular event. It kicks off October 20th. It's, you know, the lovable Herb Stratford is organizing a lot of great films, including Sticky Notes, which is a bittersweet journey of growing up, a look at the history of Tucson film. A thing about insects. I mean, there's something for everyone, really. If you want more information about that, you can go to filmfesttucson.com. Also, if you're into film, I mean, and who isn't, there's the Hola Mexico Film Festival, which is a little more casual. You just go buy tickets at the Harkin Spectrum 18. My favorite of those films would be the, just by the name, Elvira, I Would Give You My Life, But I'm Using It. Which has to be good.
That's compelling in and of itself, isn't it?
Right, it's got to be great. Also, I mean, and I know you got at the Tucson Sentinel, I believe there's still a giveaway. You could see Shin Godzilla at the Loft. I mean, the Loft has a lot of great movies right now. But if you want to see the latest Japanese take on the classic Godzilla genre, that's showing there.
Yeah,
as
we've
well.
Got a, we've got a couple of passes to give away to that, and that's running through Tuesday, I think.
Get over to Facebook. If you don't like Tucson Sentinel, you ought to be doing that.
Exactly.
You can win some tickets. Tucson Fashion Week is also happening right now. Tonight, 5:30 to 10 p.m. at Mocha Tucson, the main runway show featuring the iconic designer and creator of the fashion brand Heatherette, Richie Rich, not the fictional comic book star, but an actual person, will be doing their fashion show. Clearly, I know nothing about that, but that's all right.
You're a fashion maven.
I've never been that. Most journalists, their former journalists, are. Over at Dragoon, 3 to 10 tonight, you can the final release of their Bier de Bock is a Belgian-style quad aged in Whiskey Del Bock barrels. I have to do a show up.
You've piqued my interest.
Yeah, no, I imagine it is delicious. There will also be desserts from Beer Geek Bakery, which will be using the barrel-aged beer and malt from Hamilton. I don't know what more you could ask for from anything.
I've got time for one more quick thing to do.
Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures.
That's mini. Yeah.
2016 Tucson Miniatures Showcase. Sunday from 11 to 4, there will be raffles, there will be giveaways, there will be opportunities to purchase dollhouses. All of that happening at the wonderful Mini Time Machine Museum.
Thank you very much, Dan Gibson of Visit
My
Tucson
pleasure.
With Weekend Watch. I'm Dylan Smith. I've been sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Thank you to our guests today, Councilman Steve Kozacek. Joining me in questioning him was TucsonSentinel.com columnist Blake Morlock. And then on the roundtable, Jim Nitzel of the Tucson Weekly. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including producer-engineers Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Ed Alexander, production supervisor Jerry Cross, station owners Doug and Murray Martin, and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rose Buckmaster, I'm Dylan Smith, wishing you a great weekend.